Blog Talk Radio.
What we got here? All right, we're live, ladies and gentlemen. We are live. We are live. Let's see what we got here. Okay, so today we're talking about Donald Trump will be declared the winner tomorrow or sometime next week. Plus, T.I. defends a racist restaurant owner. And also, there's some stuff going on in the media that we have to cover. So we'll be on for 2 hours tonight, y'all. We're going to be on for 2 hours. We're also be talking about Kyle Rittenhouse, who's been extradited to face homicide charges in Wisconsin. You know, he wanted to keep his trial in Illinois. But they were like, nah. Dude, you got to go to Wisconsin to face charges. And the attorney tried to fight the extradition and lost. But we'll get into that as well. We're also taking your calls if you want to call us. We don't, you know, care whether or not you call us. But the number is 516-418-5867. 516-418-5867. That is the number to call in if you want to basically go live with us. Let's see something here. Let's see what we can play if we can. I want to show y'all something here. Let me show y'all something here if you're on Instagram. Let me show this right quick. Y'all. Everybody see that? Roger Henderson is live, y'all. Show 516-418-5867, 516-418-5867. yeah, we didn't come on yesterday. I had a lot of things to do, had a lot of things to pick up on, you know. So we didn't go in, we didn't come on yesterday. So we apologize about that. Yeah, we didn't come on yesterday. But let's go ahead and to talk about what's going on around the country, even around the world, but most of the time it's around the country. Four dead, including possible suspect after shooting in Nevada. Four people were killed, including possible suspect in shooting Tuesday in Nevada, authorities said. The conditions of a fifth person who was injured and taken into a hospital was immediately known. Henderson Police Captain Jason Cusick told reporters. Cusick said police haven't confirmed the identities of the police involved. Officers found two people who had been shot after someone called 911 reported hearing gunfire and seeing someone injured in a doorway at 11 a.m., Cusick said. The shooting occurred west of central Henderson, a city about 320,000 southeast of Las Vegas. Officer found a possible suspect in a nearby car, Cusick said. The attempted contact resulted in police shooting and killing the person, he said. Additional details about the shooting weren't immediately known. Cusick said investigators was dynamic and ongoing. So they said that four people shot dead in Henderson, Nevada. Wow. So that's crazy. Okay. Kyle Rittenhouse is extradited to face homicide charges in Wisconsin. Now, you know, here's the thing. Because Kyle Rittenhouse is basically out there trying to show himself to be a standout white supremacist. He's basically came there with a gun. He wanted to show that this is how radical we should be in America. He said that we have to protect property. That was one of his, you know, his words or what he said, that we got to protect property, okay? But the article goes on to say from NPR, news.org, that 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, who was charged in a fatally shooting two men and wounding third during a protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin, was extradited from Illinois and Wisconsin following the ruling of Lake County Judge Paul Novak. Novak denied Rittenhouse's request to remain in Illinois, according to the Associated Press, noting that the defense had characterized the charges as politically motivated. The Illinois court should not examine any potential political impact a Wisconsin district attorney potentially considered him in his charging decision, Novak ruling read. Until Friday, Rittenhouse has been held in Lake County, Illinois, which borders Kenosha, where the shooting took place on August the 25th. He is now in Wisconsin, where he'll face life imprisonment if convicted of his most serious crime, first-degree intentional homicide. Rittenhouse had also been charged with attempted intentional homicide as well as underage possession of a firearm. Rittenhouse lawyer John Pierce attempted to block his transfer to Wisconsin by citing faulty extradition paperwork. The prosecution insisted that the paperwork was in order. Stephen Skeller, Lake County Assistant State Attorney, said there would be a chaos if someone could step over a state line and receive sanctuary after committing a crime. The defense also claimed Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense, alleging killing 36-year-old Joseph Rosenbaum of Kenosha after Rosenbaum attempted to wrestle his rifle away. Shortly after words, Rittenhouse was approached by other protesters and then tripped and fell. While on the ground, 26-year-old Anthony Hubert of neighboring Silver Lake struck Rittenhouse with a skateboard and tried to take his rifle away, according to the AP. Rittenhouse shot Hubert, killing him and mourning other protesters, Gage Grossenkratz of West Islis, Wisconsin, who had a handgun. After the incident, Rittenhouse returned home in Antioch, Illinois, less than 20 miles from Kenosha, and was arrested the following day, August the 26th, NPR reporting. Now, this Rittenhouse, basically, he might get off on some of the charges here because, you know, his attorney is pleading self-defense, and we can't dismiss the fact that he was attacked, you know. So they're going to try to basically get the situation as he was defending himself. They already came out and said that. You know, this young man was defending himself. His mom allowed him to come down there, and she basically drove him all the way down there with a rifle, knowing that he was underage. It shows you how irresponsible she is. You understand? And so now he was out there talking about, well, you know, they needed help to assist in property protection and stuff like that. Rittenhouse is not old enough to carry a gun, and his mom knew that. And so therefore, she was training her son earlier, or early in an early age, in order to be this radical white supremacist with the same ideology that these guys have. And so, therefore, Rittenhouse was basically trying to let people know that it's always going to be about gun violence. It's going to be about attacking people. And this is what's going to continue in the United States. This is what you have to get ready for, even if we face opposition for anybody who is also white. This Rittenhouse basically understood what he was doing. Now that he is facing extradition, he tried to stay into Illinois. He tried because he knows that you can then have a corrupt system like Illinois and that the prosecution may help to keep him out of jail. You see, because that self-defense will work in Illinois moreover than Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin basically, it's going to be a place where, you know, it depends on if they're, you know, you look at how these two white men who were shot and killed by Rittenhouse, it depends on how they look at this. Because even if he gets, like, some years in jail, he's going to be actually eligible for parole anyway. Okay? Because when you're a white person, you don't basically do all of your whole time. You get incentives. You get certain types of, you know, things done to for your case and for your sentencing. Okay? Even though that would make other white people mad. But Rittenhouse is a young person. He's white. And basically the system works in the favor of white people in general. So despite the fact that he killed two white folks and injured another one, which is a total of three people, he will do some time, but they have to try him as an adult, as I think they're going to do here. Okay? So they're basically continuing to try to find ways that he's already talking about self-defense. His attorneys always have already brought in the self-defense thing. Mental situations or whatever, that might be a play in Rittenhouse's decision later. But right now, the ideal is, you know, caught up in a moment. Passion, you know, he was passionate about something or caught up in a moment about something. Okay? So that's what they will often say. Okay, that you're okay. So we're live on Instagram here. We're taking your calls at 516-418-5867. 516-418-5867. We'll be right back. Rittenhouse knew what he was doing, though. Like I said, his mom knew better. His mom knew what he went down there into Kenosha to do. His mom knew better. His mom was basically trying to do a, trying to defend her son, knowing that her son was underage, and she is really the person who should also be charged along with her son, Kyle Rittenhouse, because she basically knew what she was doing. Okay? So we have to understand that, about why this system basically does not really give adequate justice. You have to understand that. 516-418-5867 is the number to call in. But we'll stay in. We'll stay dealing with that, because we basically got some more. We'll follow that because we want to basically keep up with what's going to happen. This is going to be an interesting case to see what's going on as far as Kyle Rittenhouse. Okay. Now we're moving on to one of our major topics of the day. It's T.I., basically this black man and his wife was asked to leave a restaurant here in Atlanta, a sushi restaurant. I didn't show you because I thought that we were live. So we'll show it again, and then we'll talk about what went wrong in this particular case. Because here's the thing, I don't know, because see, black people like to be discriminated against. We love to patronize everybody else besides ourselves. And this is why racism still exists. And I want to watch. Let's watch this video again here. Let's do that. Hold on, guys. We're trying to get this video cropped out. Yeah, have your calls ready. 516-418-5867. 516-418-5867. This, okay. Okay, here we go. Okay. All right. So they're in Midtown, Buckhead. They're in Buckhead. And you know how black folks like to eat at, white restaurants, Hispanic, Asian, Chinese, Asian restaurants. We like to patronize other people's restaurants. No problem with that. But when we go into these restaurants, we basically face all kinds of discrimination. But we still give people our money because people don't respect black folk at all. But we are willing to give our money to them. We're willing, it doesn't matter what discrimination looks like, what kind of discrimination it is. Black folks will give their money to a people who basically said, look, we don't even want y'all in our restaurants. We'll take your money, but see, we got a dress code. You understand? And black people are willing. They are willing to give their money to anybody despite discrimination. You did? And I want to read something that I thought that the Shadow Room said. It was very, very interesting. It says, Umi Sushi in Atlanta, Buckhead neighborhood is being called out for alleged racial discrimination by a black couple who were escorted out of the restaurant for a dress code violation. The couple said that it was one thing if a dress code violation is all it was, but to them, it became pretty clear that the rules of the dress code applied to them and not to the others. Kaylin Colbert said that they were refused service because her husband was rocking some Nike Air Forces. But as soon as he pointed out that a white woman had the same thing, while they've seen in the restaurant, see, the white woman had on her sneakers. But see, the sushi people in Atlanta Buckhead did not kick the white woman out. You understand? So she was kicked. He was kicked out. They were kicked out of the restaurant because the husband had on some sneakers. Now, they didn't have a policy there that says, well, it's only a certain type of sneaker you can wear. They said, no. The dress code is that you cannot come into here with sneakers. So as the black couple was leaving, they said, wait a minute. Here's this white woman who has sneakers on. So I guess it only applies to black folks when we come into your sushi restaurant. You did? And then you heard the Asian chick over there talking about, we'll just wait until the police get here. Same thing white folks say when they kick you out. Well, we'll just wait till the cops get here. You see, the cops, the enforcement arm of white supremacy is basically for them. And they educate the Asian people to do the same thing, okay? So black people, when you go into these upscale restaurants, we already know that you're giving your money away to them. That's where the disrespect comes in, because they already know no matter what, how you treat black folks, they're still going to go and eat in your restaurants. Doesn't matter what they do to you. Okay? So T.I. steps in, and T.I. basically first called out the black dude, you know, and I think our sister Alizala Shakur, I think she has it on her YouTube video page where T.I. went off on the black dude first, because he had asked T.I. for assistance at first. Now, this is not the second video that T.I. did. This is the first video T.I. did. Okay, so don't get it wrong here. At first, T.I. was going off on a black dude, like, nigga, I don't know you. Don't be calling me up. I got, you know what I'm saying? Blah, blah, blah. To see the black dude, you know that, you know, at the time, you know, back in 2007 or 8 or what have you, T.I. and Killer Mike, they boycotted, Houston's. In Buckhead, Lenox Mall here in Atlanta, of their racial discrimination. I'll pull that article up in a minute. But then T.I. came back afterwards because the situation went viral and he tried to explain himself, as often as black celebrities do when they basically behind the closed doors with white mommy or white daddy, Asian mommy, Asian daddy. And basically, as a black celebrity, see, the thing is that the black celebrity don't understand that the only reason why you're allowed in the restaurant because they heard of you, they know that you got money, they basically know that you're going to spend a lot of money in that restaurant. you see. That's why the black celebrity is always welcome, you see. The black celebrity is always welcome because, you know, these business people, they, you know what I'm saying, they know that their business will grow because the black celebrity coming inside the restaurant. So T.I. makes another video, and he's there with the owner of the sushi restaurant. And both of them are talking, trying to explain things or whatever, because the black man called out T.I., and T.I. know that he knows this guy. You understand? And so now the whole thing came down on Instagram about them having to leave the restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they tell black folks, man, we don't think you can afford to eat in our restaurant. You know, our meals start out about $100-something. So we'll recommend you go across the street to some other, you know, the Cheesecake Factory or something. So the thing about it is that he started to explain, you know, the sushi man started to retract on the situation where he talked about, well, maybe we should change our policy. Maybe we should switch up. You know, he had nothing to rationalize the policy on. And the reason why he didn't have nothing to rationalize, because he can see big as day that the white woman came in with the white woman came in with the same kind of shoes on, sneakers on. She had sneakers on. And the Asian man knew that if he had put the white woman out, there would be a lot of problems. That's the reason why he had to discriminate on the black couple, because they're not going to put out a white person, especially somebody who, you know, looked like they in the middle class. Now, a drunk white person or a poor white person, yeah, they don't care about them. But this woman had also on sneakers, and the black dude is sitting there pointing out the sneakers that the white woman got on and say, I can't come in there with my sneakers on, but she can come in there with hers. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. But the article goes on to say, though, that the couple said it was one thing if the dress code violation is all it was. But you see, that's not what it was all about. It was about, we're going to give these white folks preferential treatment to come into our sushi Asian restaurant, and you niggas, y'all better follow the code, or y'all can't come in here, you know. And black folks do not understand that despite these people just basically discriminating against you, you're willing to still go into the restaurant just to prove that you got money to spend with them. And this is the sad case. This is the reason why black folks are at the bottom of every economic system in this country, this world, basically. Because we try to prove to other people as to how we can go in and spend money. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when our sister Tamika Mallory got on the airplane, and they wanted her to leave, and the white guy said, "Well, look, I'll give up my seat for her so they can basically, you know what I'm saying? That still wasn't enough. They want them out. You know what I'm saying? They want her off the plane just because, you know the white dude felt some type of way about her attitude and stuff like that." And, you know, they got this policy that, you know, that, look, you got to, if we want you off, the captain, the flight attendant captains, they have the right to kick you off the airplane. And that is up to their discretion, because the airplane captain is the person who makes the decision on the airplane, you see. So they wanted her off, Tamika Mallory off. It's the same kind of things that we're playing here. But the problem becomes is when black folks know it happened, and it's like, you know, let's not go build our own upscale restaurant. And some of us do have, you know, some businesses are black owned, you know. But the idea here is that I guess he had on the wrong kind of sneakers, because the white woman was all in there with her sneakers on, and trying to explain it to him. That wasn't enough. And then here come the Asian girl. We'll just wait for the cops to come. We'll just wait for the cops to come. God, okay, man. And the black couple still didn't want to leave. You know, they still want to hang out. Okay, if somebody don't want you in their restaurant, go somewhere else, black folks. See, the whole thing is that you can eat anywhere. Why patronize people who don't like you? I just don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, it really don't. But this is not even the first time that's happened. Let's actually read the article. Okay, that the first time this happened, and we got together as black folks and closed down Houston. We boycotted Houston's restaurant here in Georgia because they did the same thing back in 2000 and I want to say 9 or 2007. It says here, if we learn anything about T.I. recently, is that he's down to ride for the cause. Recently, a few of the Houston restaurants in Atlanta have been accused of discrimination. Some angry AT aliens decided to do something about it and boycott the eating establishment, and that the cane was front and center. Tip announced the protest on his Instagram page. Okay, so I heard four different stories from four different sources about discrimination against us at two separate Houston steakhouse locations in my city. Tomorrow, we will get answers. Okay. On Saturday, October the 7th, a group of protesters, including the Hustle Gang head honcho, descended up on Houston locations on Lenox Road, armed with signs and yelling, "Whose city? Our city." They made their presence known. "We have closed the Houston's down for the moment, indefinitely," Tip said in an Instagram video recorded at the protest. "When they figure out how to treat us, they can open back up," end quote. See, this is the thing, man. You see black folks, you want to eat in everybody else's establishment. You want to do business with everybody else, but you don't want to give your dollar to each other. And people is still discriminating against you, but you would rather go into their establishment just to prove that you got money. It's all right, man. All right. But the article goes on to say that Houstonians have responded to the backlash on social media. "We have employed a diverse and hardworking staff serving Atlanta's similar diverse clientele for many years." Now, what that really means when they say diverse, that means not only have we served you Negroes, we've also had Asian, Hispanics, white, everybody in here, because that's the game they play on us. And a statement reads, "Charges of discrimination are not only unfounded, but are intentional manipulations using social media. Our policies and guidelines apply equally to everyone. Mr. Harris isn't afraid to put his feet in the streets. Back in July, he participated in a march in Atlanta to protest the death of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile at the hands of the police. That time, the crowd gathered at the National Center for Civil and Human Rights and headed to the CNN Center before moving on to William Street near the Connector, where they were met by police blockage. A standoff ensued around the corner from T.I.'s local restaurant, Scales 925, you see. So these couples basically knew, this couple knew T.I. But T.I. goes on to basically help the sushi guy to explain himself and talking about, yeah, and then he was up there talking about, yeah, maybe the policy needs to be changed and blah, blah, blah. Come on, man. Why is black folks worried about restaurant policies and everybody else's restaurant? If you choose not to eat there, then they'll change their policy for you. You see, black folks haven't learned about what we did in the 1960s when we just stopped wanting to sit behind the bus drivers. The system automatically changed then. You see? But T.I. basically tried to, you know, to help out this Asian guy, trying to make sure that, I don't know if he brought him in and allowed him to eat some sushi or something. But then the dude started to talk about, okay, well, you know, we're going to change our policy because this basically is irresponsible for me to say that they can't come in, but the white girl can or the white woman can. And so he should have allowed them to sit down and eat the food, though. But at the same time, you know, this black couple was calling out T.I. because he's, like I said, he's seen how Tip basically was boycotting Houston's before. So he called on this man. He knew T.I., I think, because he went and even ate in T.I.'s restaurant. You understand? He knew other people like the mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, and other folks. So this black dude was just not any old type of person. This couple was well known in the black community. And so since Tip didn't recognize who it was, when he began to recognize who he was, he came back and tried to explain the situation. But it was too late, Tip. It was too late. You've already taken the side of the Asian owner, you see, and talking aggressive. You know how other black people, they like to talk aggressive to other black folks, but then when it comes to white people and Asian people, they basically talk like they got some sense. That's what T.I. was doing. You understand? And so it was that kind of situation that basically just say, okay, this doesn't fly well with me. You understand? It really didn't. It really didn't fly well with me. What's going on with my, hold on, folks, let's get back on air here. No, it really didn't fly well with me. I was upset about it. I was really upset about it. You did? I was so upset about it, man. Because I thought Tip was going to be fair in the situation. I thought Tip was going to be fair, man. You know? Let's look at it. You know, let's look at it. Let's look at it again. Hold on. Now, the news media on Hot News, what's that? HotNewsHipHop.com. They made it seem like Tip went off on him. Man, he didn't go off on him. He started to help explain the sushi guy in the situation where he basically was trying to say, well, you know, we understand your policy and all this old stuff. And, you know, well, all right, I'll let you here. Hold on. Let me do something here. Let me let you see it here.
She has all her demons.
She's a white woman. Come on. And see, here's the thing, man. We go into these restaurants, man. We get treated all kinds of ways, and but we still want to spend our money with these people. I don't understand that. Black folks, I don't know. They're escorting him out. He kept on explaining, hey, you know, take a look at the shoes that she got on, you know, but that don't matter. You know, Negro, I want you out of here because you got on the shoes. It's like, man, really? Wow. But see, the black folks still go to that restaurant. They still go and eat their sushi. They still go and eat all kinds of food, even in a pandemic where they're saying that this COVID thing came from China, came from Asia Pacific, but we're still going in their restaurant eating this. It's like, okay. You're not going to pause until they clear out the situation, but you're still going to, okay, my people, my people. But that's, I don't know. Let's see. Now, a lot of y'all left comments about the issue there on Instagram. A lot of y'all left some comments, but I know that a lot of y'all who leave these comments talking about, you know, they ain't going to happen to me, blah, blah. Y'all be the same ones going in there eating stuff. You know what I'm saying? Y'all be the main ones. It ain't gonna happen to me, but y'all feel good about eating in their restaurants there, eating that sushi stuff. Okay. Now, Tracy still said that I understand his frustration. A lot of people were saying he shouldn't have argued with the owner. Okay. I guess the owner got his feelings hurt. But just leave and don't eat there anymore. It's what Tracy is saying. Tracy has said, don't eat there anymore, but it's the principle. He wanted them to admit a white woman was wearing sneakers. That's it. I would have done the very same thing. Okay, Tracy, that right there is, you would have done the same thing because you said it's about principle. Okay. Huh. Let me marinate on if it's just about principle eating into a restaurant where they don't want you there eating. Okay. All right. So let me see who else says something. All right. Corey said, listen. Yeah, I too understand that I had on sneakers, but if I would have said that why the white woman shouldn't have left as well after pointing out that she had sneakers on. Yeah, that's my question too. Was the white woman park code owner? You know, we don't know. I mean, like I said, this couple come in all the time. They said they came in already 5 times prior. You know? Wow. Okay. Jennifer said, I wouldn't go in and eat that nasty blank anyway. That's just me. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't like sushi either, Jennifer. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. I don't like it either. So yeah, I agree with you on that. I wouldn't eat that nasty blank either. Okay. Let's see what Crystal said. Oh, okay. Crystal, I think honestly is on the restaurant owner's side. Crystal said, well, if he's been there 5 times, he should have read the policy that is a dress code or what have you. Okay. Well, that's interesting because I think he said that he went there several times with the Nike phone, Crystal. He went there 5 times at least before this particular issue. I think it was up to 5 times. The point is he's been there before with the sneakers on, and this is the first time he was asked to leave. Now, as far as not them changing the policy, switching it up, you know, no. It's just that we're just basically going off what he is saying and what he said in that situation. Now, like I said, T.I. came and talked with the owner, and they both sat down, and they made their own video. And I tried to find that, but I couldn't. So I think it's on Aladala's course video page. She got it where – they both of them saying, oh, yeah, see, the policy is not fair, and we're going to try to do better. We're going to change our policies and blah, blah, blah. So that means that after this, of course, if you go in there with some sneakers on, it's all good now. You understand? Okay. Who is that? The Honey Loaf said, they don't want that smoke, too. Oh. Now, the Honey Loaf is talking in reference of that when we closed down Houston's, remember back in 2009, we protested, boycotted Houston's, and eventually they were shut down. I don't know if it's because of protests or whatever, but they closed that location in Lenox Mall in Atlanta. So I guess that's what the Honey Loaf is talking about. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to they walking with the man out like he stole something, man. That's, you know, they treat black people like we're just criminal thieves, man. It's just, man, I don't know why that you know, they treat us like we've done something. And then they always gotta say, well, I'm gonna call the cops, man. Like, oh man. You know, that's at that point, it's like it's not even worth eating there. Come on, let's, you know, I want to, you know, tell my wife and my girlfriend, let's just go because, you know, I already know when the police come, they're going to try to arrest you. You know, you're a black person, and they're going to try to, you know, it's going to be a lot of things. That's why the Asian girl was in there adding on, you know, let's just wait till the cops come, you know, blah, blah. You know, it's not even worth that. Why? Black people, why are you going to stay there and wait for the cops to come? It's not worth it. And, you know, they're going to try to say, well, they have a right to refuse business. They're going to say all that kind of crap, and you just sit there, they're just wasting your time trying to prove something. Just leave because they don't want you in their restaurant. Let's go. It's not hard. Eat in the black restaurant for a change, you know? I like the idea, though. Yeah, I like the idea that the Asian dude turned and saw the shoes on the white woman's feet. I like that. I like that the Instagram video showed that. You see that? The video Instagram showed it. You know, that's good video work right there. You actually showed right there. Got a glimpse of the white. Let me show y'all this. Hold on, man. Okay, I'm told to get out the restaurant. Hold on. Let's do this over here. Hey, yeah, I'm told to get off the restaurant. Hold on. Let me park this. Yeah, the video showed. I think his wife or girlfriend was with the video recording, and showed how the woman was in there with the sneakers. Oh, hold on. Dang. And see, this is acting all up. We gotta wait until it start. You wanna act up on me then? Who is this? Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay, hold on. Here come. Here come, y'all. Well, hold on now. Hold on. She's going to zoom in. Okay, there she go. There she go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. All right. Okay. See that? He zoomed. She's zoomed in. So his wife zoomed in on the white woman's shoes. And see, this is my proof, you see. She zoomed in on the shoes. So I mean, they got a point there, but okay. All right. Well, anyway, but yeah, Tip, you know, T.I. tried to come in and address the issue. I'm going to try to see if I got, where's Tip at? I thought I had that video of Tip, you know. Tip came in and said, this is how we're going to handle it, you know. I didn't know that Tip is now a civil rights leader. I really didn't know that. I mean, I was like, you know, educate me on that. I didn't know that. Let me see. All right, yeah, we'll see what Tip said about this. But this is what. Okay, now. I think what is going on here.
Live TV from 85 Plus Channel.
Is that when a cop showed up, hold on, I might be wrong. But when a cop showed up, there was some more problems. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Hold on. I could be wrong, but let me let y'all let's look at it. You know, I could be wrong here. Hold on. That's in Atlanta. Only in Atlanta. Okay, this is, hold on, that's T.I., you know, he's talking to him right now. Look at him, they're talking now. He oh man, I didn't get it, how bad, guys.
The uproar that has come from the community in the city here, at UMI, right? All right, so we are presently sitting down with the owner of UMI, who had the incident here. This is Farshid.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, this is his brother Farshad. And I also have my other constituents in the movement here, Queen and Queen. And we are sitting down right now with these brothers, and they first of all have apologized, and they've made it known that they understand the failure in how they responded to the matter the other day, and they are interested in finding ways to become more diverse. They understand that this culture of ours runs this town, okay?
Ooh.
This culture of ours runs this town. They understand that. They don't want to alienate or ostracize our culture.
Ooh.
So we have to find ways to show them how we can work together towards a resolution.
Okay.
But I think what should be taken into consideration and what should be noticed is that he reached out to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he reached out to me. He wanted to sit down with me. I told him I'd pull up to the museum.
Ooh.
And he pulled up right now.
Pulled up.
In an effort to find ways to collaborate to reach a resolution.
Okay.
He didn't just stand up and say, well, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, and then, you know, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. That's not his attitude. That ain't his demeanor.
Mm.
So what I gave him, my word is that we will all collectively work to find ways to diversify his policies,
okay.
Diversify his staff, and, you know, even diversify how he deals with matters that, you know, that affect us and the community at large.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I think that this is a teachable moment because we don't all know each other. We don't all understand each other. We all are, you know, have our own cultures and our own ways of doing things. But it's a mutual respect. We got to start from a mutual respect. We got to respect one another. You dig what I'm saying? If I respect your restaurant and I respect where you're coming from, I can only do that if I know that you are respecting me. You are respecting my culture. You are respecting my hard-earned money when I come in here.
Oh.
And if not, then we're going to have a standoff.
Okay.
But that ain't what we want. We want to work together in unison as a community. So we sitting right here, man, and we putting it together. We both feel that, you know, if you can't wear sneakers, you can't wear sneakers at all.
Yeah.
It ain't no, these sneakers are cool and no sneakers are not.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work.
Right.
So the sneaker thing, you're going to have to wipe that. And you have agreed. Did you that?
Absolutely. So that's the first step we're going to take, and we're going to take the sneaker policy away, because I think, again, as a sneakerhead, it'd be slightly hypocritical if I had that rule and didn't abide by it.
Yeah, exponentially hypocritical. But the thing is, what else is there, like, for the experience that the people had who were dining in your restaurant, what can we do for them?
I reached out to the Culverts several times since Friday, and I said, through my connections and through how I've been in the community for so long, I can resolve the matter with the community. I can come to you and I can ask for resolution.
Right.
I'm going to ask you guys for guidance, right?
Right.
But with them, it's them. It's their heart. So some way I have to win their heart. And that's what I repeatedly told the Culverts. I asked them to come in to allow us to show them the love that we have in this restaurant.
Right. And they might not be interested.
I know. I would sit with them and I would, you know, make sure it's not just one of these, like, please come in, we buy dinner for you.
Right.
It was more about, come in, I'll sit with you. You know, sometimes through a first fight, you become long time friends.
Yeah.
You know, so as I said, and I know you spoke for me, and I appreciate it, but we were 100% wrong at our operational and the way we handled the situation.
Oh.
And I'm mad enough to say it because I'm the one that did it. I won't stand behind the publicist. I don't stand behind other people speaking to me.
Right.
That's why I wanted to come and see you guys and say that face to face.
Right on. Well, we appreciate that. Well, that is the difference in Atlanta and anywhere else. That's the difference in anywhere in Atlanta, man. It really does not. Oh, they say. Oh, and he said he doesn't get enough. He said the reason why. He said the reason why he don't have more diversity on his staff is because he don't get enough black applicants.
Yeah.
Anybody who's looking for, you know, management positions and also chefs, you know, host chefs, you know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, everybody who's saying it's all cap, we got to give an opportunity. This is a part of the process. You don't just got to go from 0 to 100. You got to get through the process. That's what maturity and, you know, becoming a clear-thinking adult is about. Conflict resolutions.
Oh,
how to solve problems.
Mm.
All right? Now, if you get to a point where it ain't no more conversation with it, we know how to handle that, too.
Oh, okay.
But to justify us to get to that point, we got to go through the process.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We got to go through the process. So we, as a band, we're gonna take Parshad, and Farshid and Farshad as men of their words.
Woo.
You know what I'm saying? And we're going to introduce them to diversity training and other things that we could do so their business could understand and appeal more so to the culture of the community.
Mm.
And you know, I'll let y'all know how it go.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying? I will let y'all know how it goes because we all got to like each other.
Okay.
We all got to agree with each other.
Right.
But we must respect each other.
All right.
All right, man. So that's all I got to say to y'all, man. I'll holler back.
All right. There you got it. T.I. Now, notice. that when discrimination happened against black folks, you hear them always talk about this diversity training stuff. You see, and it's like police officers shoot and kill a black person, diversity training, all of that, okay? A black couple get discriminated against, diversity training, you know? And just like you, I don't know if you heard the restaurant owner, he said, well, I was wrong. The policy was not fair, and it wasn't fair. And he reached out to the Colberts lots of times, and he then go in trying to explain that the reason why he don't have a lot of black people on his staff is because he didn't get a lot of black applicants, or he don't get a lot of black applicants. Nah, I think he do get a lot of black applicants. He just throw their damn applications in the trash. That's what I think he does. Or he do. But if you all want to listen to that again, go to T.I. Threatens to shut down sushi restaurant after black couple denied service for wearing sneakers. Breakfast Club is also covering the story as well. And so that has been that particular situation there. All right, so we're moving on to the final topic of the day, which is, of course, the presidential election between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And it was shocking because they said that this man got a lot of popular votes. Joe Biden got a lot of popular votes over Donald Trump. It's like, okay, well, you know, have no problem with that. But then they're deadlocked. And as you know, Malcolm have always taught us that white people are very equally divided in their presidential elections until black folks come in and they basically, you know, decide to go with the Democrats. Mostly time, which we do, go with the Democrats. And they're saying now that Joe Biden is really the winner here, but they have not basically concluded that. Okay. So, like I said, in these presidential elections, white people are always equally divided. It's basically at the hand margin. And Trump has already claimed that he's declared winner here. Okay, but if he goes to the Supreme Court, he is going to win again because the Supreme Court is heavily now conservative. And so they basically is tricking the American people into thinking that this is a real competition between the two. Okay, they're trying to make it seem and appear like that Biden is going to win. Okay, now remember we had this done before, you know, during Bush and Gore, and then during Reconstruction, the same thing, where they were talking about having their first black vice president back during Reconstruction. Remember, that never took place. So here we are again, and now the difference is that you got Kamala Harris as the vice president, which, by the way, a lot of us had stayed home. We didn't want Kamala Harris. Not because she was, quote unquote, a woman per se. It was the fact that Kamala Harris' record was basically putting black men and women in jail, and both of them, Biden and Harris, have a history of putting black folks in jail and prison. So it didn't really make sense to black men specifically to go out and vote, you know. But what they're saying is that Joe Biden had gotten a lot from the black community. They went out and they voted for him. I beg to defer. I don't think that we went out in masses voting for Joe Biden, but hey, you know, I think that we did the same thing like Hillary Clinton did. Remember, this went on with Hillary Clinton as well, where Hillary Clinton tried to push the 270 on to increasing the numbers so that she can win against, Obama. And that still she lost. It is a issue here where they're playing games. They already know that they're going to put Trump back in office. Let's stop playing games here. Okay, Joe Biden is 77, 78 years old. This man is not even, he cannot even remember what he's running. I mean, what he's running as. Remember, he said that he was running for vice president, and I don't know if he was joking, but Kamala Harris, is in a witness protection program. This, he is not equipped mentally to be in this office. And I think one of the things is you can disagree all you want, but I think they're playing games. I think they're trying to say, okay, yeah, Joe Biden is one, Kamala Harris, and getting everybody all roused up. But really, if it goes to the Supreme Court, they're going to rule in Trump's favor. Here's the thing about these radical white supremacists. They're out there already. They're out there upset because because they're thinking that Joe Biden is basically still in the election. So they're out there tearing up things and certain types of areas down there. white people ain't playing no games. Y'all not for the cheat. We want Trump back in office, man. They're down there protesting. They're down there tearing up everything down there in certain states. They do not want Joe Biden in office for nothing. These white supremacists are saying, nah, that's not going to fly with us. We believe that the election is getting stolen. We got to do something about it. The white people, calm down. Trump is going to get back in there. They're just playing games with the American people. This man is going to win again. You got white people ready to tear up the whole state of Oregon and other places. Yeah, calm down. They're gonna put them back in office. Calm down, white folks. We don't want Joe Biden in there. But see, this happened, like I said, during the Bush and Gore era, where we thought that Al Gore had it won, and he didn't. He didn't have it won. He basically, they can say that, he threw out, some folks or whatever, but basically Bush came out on top, and I think that they stole some electoral votes, they were saying. And now they're saying it's the opposite here in Trump versus Biden. They're trying to say that the election has been stolen, but I don't think that they're just basically finished counting everything. You got to wait till all the counts are in. And these white supremacists are upset. You mean tell me he's going to win? No. We want the hardcore white supremacists. We don't want the softcore white supremacists in office. No. So let me go down here in downtown Portland. Let's turn up. I think it was the Oregon governor who had to call in the National Guard. And they don't want Trump to leave, man. Come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They want that man in office, man. And so Trump already declared that he won, even though he was short about, I think, 74 votes, and he's still short right now, they're saying. But the thing is this is a repeat of Gore and Bush 2000 election, okay? And I told y'all that the ideal here is to try to get the American people to think that they participating in this election. You see, that's always the game played. But it is the electoral colleges, and behind them is the private organizations that actually picks the president. The American people have never, ever chosen the president. Now, they have chosen the popular out of the two. So they're saying that the popular vote will go to Joe Biden. But do you think he's going to win the election? I doubt it here. Don't let those four votes that he don't have right now fool you. because the Electoral College can make some calls and say, okay, we're going to give 89, 90 votes to Trump, and boom, he's under the threshold. It's kind of like a Hail Mary type thing they be doing in these political elections. It reminds me of the football game when the Falcons got beaten. Man, they basically thought that they were going to win the championship. And I think it was, I forget that team's name. But anyway, came back in like fourth quarter, whoo, boom, boom, and defeated the Falcons. I was like, dang, you know. It's kind of like that kind of thing there, you know. And so these people who talking about that Biden got it, you got these radio. And by the way, these black radio stations are not controlled by black people. So they want them to come out here. They got Ricky Smiley. They got Steve Harvey. They got those types of people, B103, all these people here in Atlanta. They got all of them out here trying to hype up everybody, thinking that Joe Biden has won. And it's just a, like I said, it's to get you to think that you are participating in a election. And like I said, you're really not, you know, because you don't choose your president. The American people have never chose their president, okay? It has always been the Electoral College until the time that they were basically created. So this game that the white media is playing right now and saying that, oh, yeah, you're deciding, and you decide, and you decide. No, you don't decide anything. That's the reason why we often call it in the black grassroots level the presidential selection, okay? Because even though anybody can vote, at the end of the day, the Electoral College is told these are the electoral votes that you're going to basically put into the system. And if you don't vote the way we say to vote, then we're just going to toss your electoral votes out. And the person who we said is going to win is going to win. Okay. Because the private organizations run the country, okay? You got your Bilderbergs and your Council on Foreign Relations, your Trilateral Commission. They are the one that makes American policy, diplomacy, not the people you elect. That's the reason why running for Senate and House of Representatives. All of these people do not get, you know, they're just there to bid for you. That's the reason why the people who we call Jews in this country, they are short less than, let's say, what, 3% of the American population, I think? And still yet, they get their policies within government real quick over black folks who are, what, 41 million in America, but you got Jews and you got other people, like, you know, other races that in groups that get their policies real quick in the American government because they got business relationship with the private people behind closed doors making the decisions. Okay? So Joe Biden is not going to win this election. I hate to tell you, but he's not going to win. This is basically a front. This is to get you all hype up and thinking that this man is going to win so everybody can be excited that you have a female vice president. Now, by the way, in which I don't disagree with, I want a woman to be president, but here's the thing with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris has a history of doing everything non-black. She had a history, and she's now claiming her Indian heritage. And right now, they're in India celebrating this woman. But yet, she was telling in her debate, she was talking about, I'm the first black woman to do this. I'm the first black woman to do that in her debate with the American people. And now, all of a sudden, you're about to be the vice president. And now, all of a sudden, it's your Indian heritage. This woman cannot make up her mind. I know that she is Jamaican / India. She's from India. But the idea here is that this woman, is not going to tell us who she basically is going to represent here. You know, we don't have that many of an Indian population in the United States. And so, therefore, you're supposed to be talking about black issues as supposedly the first black, you know, female, or the first female in general in this country, because we've never had a female to be vice president or even a female to be president. That's the reason why you know that this is a white supremacist system, okay? And so, therefore, the reason why we say white supremacy is because it is not a system that is based up on fairness. This is not a democracy as we taught y'all. This is a republic. It basically says here that this country should be ran only by white men. Now, with Obama, we already knew what that about. If you didn't know what Obama was about, Obama was only put in office to put a black face on white power, to make it appear that there was going to be some type of, the black community, we were all excited when he won. You know, basically he didn't do anything. His own job, of course, his behind-the-closed-door policy was to open up Africa, expand it more, to basically kill off Gaddafi because he was trying to have a different type of currency for Africa. And they were not going for that. So you put a black person in office to do your dirty work at some point where the country is saying, you know, the world is saying, you know what? You know what I'm saying? We're getting sick and tired of listening to white folks. So then everybody got all excited when Obama came, and for 8 years he did nothing. But he went to, you know, all other groups. He went to the Jews. He gave them something. He benefited other Hispanics. He gave them a Supreme Court justice. The white folks, of course, they increased in wealth and stocks and bonds. He went to the LGBT gay community, gave them some stuff. And when he came to black folks, he said, you niggas need to stop complaining. Get up and lift yourself up by your bootstraps. But what Ice Cube has pointed out is that, you know, we don't have boots. You see what I'm saying? So in this election here with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, remember, Joe Biden also promised black folks that he was going to give us reparations. But the Native Americans had to also get it first. So if he's going to stick, if he wins, he owes the black community, because black folks did go out there and vote for him. And they basically still don't have a black agenda here, regardless of who won, whether it be Donald Trump with this contract with Black America, or whether it be Joe Biden with Lift Every Voice or what have you. Listen, they both owe us a black agenda, bottom line. And so the presidential selection could be decided tomorrow, where the Supreme Court will just say, will they take it to the Supreme Court? It's not there yet. But they will basically will say, oh, we made a mistake. Trump did win. You know, they it's going to be some kind of situation where they're going to just screw up and everybody going to come out talking about the votes were stolen and stuff like that and all this old craziness. Okay, that is just for the media to get some type of clout, okay? Remember, the media also, they also go behind closed doors with the private people too, okay? And the media's job, of course, is to basically hype up the American people as if they got some kind of, you know, race going on here. That's the media's job. So the media come in with the private people and say, yeah, y'all job is to hype up the American folks, to say all these types of things, to get them all riled up. And behind the closed doors, the private organizations say, all right, now this is going to be the winner regardless of what the American people have voted for in the popular vote. You see, the United States, of course, have never, ever allowed majority of its people to vote for the president. You're voting for the popular of the two. okay? Right now, it's showing that Joe Biden is popular than Donald Trump, okay? But that doesn't mean that he's going to lose, because remember, in 2000, you had Gore and Bush. Al Gore was popular among George Bush, but George Bush still won by certain types of electoral votes. And then they came back and they said that, well, you know, black folks also support George Bush the second time because of the Iraq War. So you have an issue. And then also in addition to that, okay, now you Hispanics out here, the Hispanics, their sin has turned their back on the Republican Party this election and has voted for Joe Biden as well. And you Hispanics, y'all going to pay for that, because if Trump get back in office, he see that you have abandoned him. Oh, man, y'all are going to have – you think that basically they're trying to close the borders now? Oh, man, you all do not know what y'all done, okay? You all are out here saying, you know, I'm going to vote Democrat, vote blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but, man, I'm telling you, if Trump get back in office, he's going to basically punish the Hispanics, because y'all are supposed to be his base as well. Y'all wasn't supposed to vote for Joe Biden. Y'all think that, okay, and y'all wasn't supposed to basically be behind Joe Biden, okay? But I think what y'all did is y'all saw black folks come out there for Joe too, and it's like, okay, well, let's do what the black folks doing. They're all, in, you know, wanting to get Trump out of office, and, okay, let's go that way. You know, let's go that route. But, no, see, that's not going to work. You understand? I don't, you know, because if Trump goes to the Supreme Court is going to rule in his favor, and he's going to be reelected again. That's what you don't understand. And that's the reason why he already had put a lot of conservatives on the Supreme Court, so that they can help him to declare him the victory. You see, you got to understand how the presidential selection is played out here. A lot of folks do not understand how the presidential selection is played out. Right. All right, so we're going to go ahead and in our Instagram live, and we're going to be still on YouTube because we've got channels everywhere. And Facebook has banned me for a while, which is okay. We'll come back. We'll come back on Facebook. They banned me, you know, because they don't like when black folks tell the truth on anything. So they have to always, like, you know, monitor what you say. You see, they got to always try to water it down, and that's the only way that you can basically get, you know, some type of viewership on certain types of blogs, I mean, on websites and social media. You know, your stuff has to be watered down, because the white supremacists who run Facebook and Instagram and all these other social sites, they don't want you speaking the facts. You know, you speaking the facts, oh, you're trolling the waters a little bit, you know. But yeah, Facebook, we, you know, it's okay. It's good. It's all good, you know. But okay, so let's see here. We gotta go to YouTube. All right. So for those of you who are on Instagram, you can go to my live on YouTube to continue to watch the video. Okay, it will play. It'll play out for a minute, and then it will go off here in a second. But we'll continue to talk about this presidential selection on YouTube. The presidential selection is almost over. Now, let me go here for a minute. Okay, because, see, the liberals, the white liberals and the Democratic Party, they're upset because they want people to take this medicine. What did you call it? This pandemic. They want people to take this, you know, take the medication. I forget what it is. It's going to come to me in a minute. But the liberals, Dr. Fauci, I call him Dr. Slouchy, but Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates, they are part of this depopulation situation here. So they want people to take these, what is it called? They claim it's a cure, but it's really not. And so they want to test it. At first, they wanted to test it on some African people and to see if it's going to work. And actually, it's not going to work. But that's the reason why they want Joe Biden in office. They want Joe Biden in office because, you know, they basically are, like I said, they're wanting that vaccine, is what it's called. They want people to take this vaccine. And Trump says, no, it has not been approved yet, and it's basically to kill people, in which this vaccine has already done. So they want Trump out of office because of that, okay? And I know a lot of black folks love Democrats, but Dr. Fauci, who hangs a lot with a lot of Democratic leaders and Bill Gates, they know that they can get a lot of people to basically align with them if they basically pretend like they're liberal. You understand? But they still have the same conservative agenda as anybody else. You know, they can pretend to be liberal and Democrats all they want. But the same time is they behind closed doors working on this vaccine so they can try to depopulate the country. You know, they got too many people in the United States, and then you got people from China who wants to come over here. You got other people who wants to come over here, and Trump has said, no, close the borders. We got too many folks, and they want the borders to be open. Now, here's the thing, though. The vaccine is going to actually, if Biden gets in office, it's going to be approved. And I don't know if they're going to force people to take it, but it's very, very deadly. I think people who basically had COVID-19 actually took it, and some of them have already died, but they don't care about that because it's already about depopulation anyway. Same thing that they did with the AIDS virus, okay? So now they want Trump out of office because he's against the vaccine, and then you put Joe Biden in there, then you turn the whole situation into – well, this is what the American people want and need and stuff like that. And you start lying to them, thinking that they're doing something that's going to protect their loved ones when they're actually out here killing their loved ones. They're actually out here making sure that people on the majority is going to basically, you know, take this vaccine so they can make billions and billions of dollars. Dr. Fauci has already made millions of dollars off of this, and so have Bill Gates. And this is the same thing with this Planned Parenthood that Bill Gates' father had set on, you know. So they're basically wanting this vaccine to be approved real quick so they can kill off more people, you know what I'm saying, especially when they get on these ventilators. So I've been telling my family, do not go to the hospital getting this COVID checkup. Because these things are not really standard. They're not really standardized by the Food and Drug Administration or the FDA. All of these organizations have not approved these things, but they said Trump has taken it. But the ideal here is to get certain people to get this vaccine in their body and to kill them off, is to make sure, not only did Trump have the COVID-19, as I said, they also said that Herman Cain had it as well. Hey, you ever, what's going on with Herman Cain? You know, his funeral. You know, no, they never said anything about Herman Cain after he died in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, you can tell when they don't care about your coons out here because, you know, after this man died, there was no funeral. The press did not come out. And so that's the issue when you're a coon. They really don't want, you know, they use their coons so much. They really do. Their coons be out there like, yeah, I'm going to come out here and have you protest, white daddy and white mama. And it's like, man, they don't care about their coons. And you ain't heard anything about Herman Cain's funeral. You didn't hear anything about any of that stuff. Like, wait a, you see, that's how the white supremacy do not like to, you know, to celebrate the life of their coons. They just don't do it. You know, they just don't do it. But see, you got to understand here. And okay, I think Instagram is cutting me off here in a minute. All right, yes, that's fine. Instagram, I'm still on YouTube. But anyway, no, they don't like their tools at all. So yes, y'all are keep on y'all thinking that Joe Biden is going to win the presidential selection. Okay, he's not going to win the presidential selection. Okay, and I know there's a lot of y'all who want Kamala Harris to be vice president. That's fine. I want a female vice president or president too, but just not her. Why is it that the white supremacists know how to choose these bought and paid for bedwench Negroes? It's just, they really love to choose them, okay? Now, remember my commentary where I said where Kamala Harris slept her way up to the top? She slept her way up to the top when she was basically in, you know, California. You know, Willie Brown gave her all these jobs just because, you know what I'm saying, he basically hit it. You know, it's like, okay, I'm giving you this job, but you're going to have to, you got to do something in return. So she, so that's what I'm saying. She slept her way to the top, man. And then the thing is that she's not a foundational Black American. She's not an Adolf. Well, she's not a person whose family's history goes back to the killing fields of the American South. It's like, so this is why white people like to choose Black immigrants over us who are born in America. Now, I'm not saying that we should be divided on this, but they love to choose these immigrants, these Black immigrants, for a specific reason. Like they chose Obama. I don't think he was born here, but I won't. But for the sake of argument, let's say he was. But they like to choose these immigrants over Black folks who were born in the country and whose ancestry was here as well. Because it is these Black folks who are going to basically sell you out. They're going to basically be like, they'll do anything they can to get a pat on the back from white daddy and white mommy. They will do anything they could. They were basically damn near, I mean, I'm telling you, these Black immigrants will do anything. We got about 11 million of them over here. And they basically will, you know, anything that white mommy and white daddy say and demand, these Black immigrants are going to, I mean, they will break their neck in order to get some type of pat on the back for white mommy and white daddy. And here's the thing, though. We said that if Joe Biden wins, that he owes us a Black agenda. We said that. He owes us a Black agenda. He said that he has one. And it's basically almost the same as Trump's, you know, platinum plan, okay? But regardless of who wins, they both owe us a Black agenda, and we're out there making sure that they keep their promises, okay? But, yeah, in this presidential selection, though, they will often, like I said, the media's job is to hype it up. They're out here trying to make it seem like they don't have no answers as to who's going to win. But behind the closed doors, come on, they already know. Like your private organization, they already know who got this election. You know, but it's just they want the white media to make sure that they don't basically advertise anything, you know, because it's like I said, it's a game for them. All right, so okay, so Instagram is telling me. All right, Instagram is with the. Knock me off here in just a moment, but y'all keep on tuning in until Instagram let me go here. Oh, man. All right, so anyway, no, but they were out there boycotting because they thought that Trump basically has gotten, they thought that Trump is the votes have been stolen from Trump, so they're out there upset. They got these white supremacists. They're ready to cause chaos out there in Oregon, Portland, or whatever. Portland or something like that. Yeah, Portland. They're in Portland just ready to turn up down there because they think that the election is getting stolen. You're like, dang, you know. So they're ready to basically ride anything that Trump says. These white supremacists will come and say, oh, no, that's not going to happen, blah, 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 blah. They are really out there upset about it, man. Oh, man, that is crazy. They ain't no fool. They will turn up on you. Okay. Yeah. And so they actually tricked black folks again here. We told black folks in the black community on the grassroots level, we told y'all not to go to the polls and vote unless we knew that they were going to give us our tangibles. And then when these white supremacists says that, oh, we're going to threaten you black folks. We're not going to show up at the polls. And you know that we love to be threatened. And so they had all these black folks say, oh, we ain't going to let no white supremacists threaten us. So we're going to head to the polls. And, of course, the white supremacists, they don't show up. We wish we didn't stay in a society like this, but we do. We do. We got it. Like I told you about the commentary about Willie Brown Jr. when he found hung at the park on the basketball rim. Folks, they are basically trying all they can to say, hey, we might be turning the tables back and going, you know, far to the right, if you know what I mean. You know, it reminds me of when me and my brother, we was basically said we might take a trip, but we can't go to no small towns where, you know, you get some white woman saying, you boys louse. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. And he said that on Instagram, right? Okay. Yeah, I was just reading that. Okay. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure was. Okay. Now, but the election is the presidential selection is still going on. Still going on, y'all. The presidential selection is out of this world, man. Okay, the presidential selection. Let's see. So let's read it here. Protesters took to the street in the city across the U.S. Wednesday for a second night at the 2020 presidential election inched closer to declaring a winner. Tensions ran high into the night following the most peaceful start to the day, with reports of widespread violence leading to the National Guard being deployed in Portland, Oregon. Arrests were also made in Minneapolis and New York City, with the NYPD confiscating weapons. More than 100 events are planned nationwide between Wednesday and Saturday, organized by local partners to protect the results. A coalition of more than 165 grassroots organizations, advocacy groups, and labor unions. The group, led by activist groups Individual and Stand Up America, has decided not to hold hundreds more events that were initially planned. Okay? In Washington, D.C., organizers at Shut Down D.C. plan for more aggressive action as the week goes on, depending on the outcome, whether President Donald Trump wins or whether he tries to question the results. We knew this would happen, the advocacy group said in a tweet calling for a rally Wednesday with the hashtag #DeliverDemocracy and count every vote. Okay. So here is a brief look at the stand here at the USA Today is reporting that groups of President Trump supporters gathered at the Arizona Capitol in Las Vegas to demand election workers keep counting ballots. Excuse me. Demonstrators in Philadelphia were seen holding signs that said count every vote. Oregon Governor Kate Brown activated the state National Guard in response to the widespread violence in Portland, Oregon. and the New York Police Department said more than 20 people who attempted to hijack a peaceful protest by lighting fires, throwing garbage and eggs in Manhattan were arrested Wednesday. Hundreds gathered downtown Chicago for a Trump out power to the people protest. The Los Angeles Police Department announced for the second day in a row a citywide tactical alert to ensure sufficient resources to address any incident that may arise as a result of the election day activities. Several demonstrators were detained, police said. Okay. And that has been. And this today's show.